What is the authority in your life? Not just like your parents or your boss or political leaders. What is the authority in your life for what is right and true? What is the authority for how you think and believe and act? In Israel, God was the authority, and He revealed His will through His word and through His prophets who shared His word. But often Israel didn't like that authority. They wanted an authority that told them what they wanted to hear and do. And King Ahab was a king like that. King Ahab didn't like the authority of God's prophets, and so he gathered prophets around him who told him what he wanted to hear. It was way better that way. Well, King Ahab decided to go to war with Syria, and he invited King Jehoshaphat to go with him. And King Jehoshaphat was king over the southern kingdom of Judah. And King Jehoshaphat agreed to go, but asked if they could first inquire for the word of the Lord. And so Ahab gathered all his prophets together, all 400 of them, and they all, to a man, said that the king should go up and fight and win. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we can ask?" To which Ahab replied, "Well, there's this one guy, Micaiah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." Which just tells you what was the authority for Ahab. For Ahab, the authority was whatever was good news for him. Well, Ahab agreed, called Micaiah in, and as expected, he gave bad news to Ahab and Jehoshaphat. He told them they would lose the battle and that Ahab would die. And additionally, he told them it was actually God's plan for these other prophets to give him the good news for this very purpose, that Ahab would go fight the battle and die. So, of course, they ignored Micaiah and they went to battle and they lost and Ahab died. Because Micaiah spoke with the authority of God. They just wouldn't accept the authority of God. Which is often what people do when they do not like God's authoritative word on a particular issue. They reject God's authority. So, what is your authority? What is your authority for how you believe and how you live? And you should really think about that, because to be honest, most of us probably have a quick answer for what our authority is, but our lives don't always match up to what we say. Our lives often demonstrate we actually live by a different authority than the one we claim. Well, this morning, our text is about authority. Mark 11, the religious authorities went to talk to Jesus about authority. Please open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 11, verse 27. If you're using one of our church Bibles, you'd find that on page 848, about 80% of the way through your Bible, page 848 in those church Bibles. If you find the New Testament, Mark is the second book. You have the Gospel of Matthew, then the Gospel of Mark. If you hit Luke or John or the book of Acts, you've gone a little too far. Mark 11, verse 27, which, as you would expect, comes right after verse 25. Mark 11, verse 27. "And they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him. And they said to him, 'By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them?' Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me.' And they discussed it with one another, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe in him? But shall we say from man?' They were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, 'We do not know.' And Jesus said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" Well, let's pray together. God, our Father, we praise you that you are the true and ultimate authority, and that you've given us your word as authority for our lives. And Father, we praise you for your majesty and splendor revealed in all creation. We praise you for the ways that you work in our lives for our good. And Father, we recognize that sometimes the things that you bring into our lives include suffering and sorrow and pain. And Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters who are experiencing trials and tribulations even now, even this morning. And we ask that you would comfort your people. We ask that you would give us the grace and mercy that we need to make it through this day. We ask that you would give hope, that you would give restoration and renewal. And Father, we ask even in our gathering together this morning that you would give us a refreshing and a renewal, that you would uplift our spirits, that you would give us renewed strength. Father, help me to teach in a way that is right and true, that is consistent with your word and your will. We ask that the Spirit would be at work in our hearts so that we would receive your truth and apply it, so that we would live in ways that honor you and please you. And Father, we ask that even this morning, the Spirit would be at work in those who do not yet understand the gospel, that you would open their hearts to see their sin and rebellion against you, and to see your displeasure, your anger against sin. And you'd help them to see the glory of Jesus Christ, to whom you've given all authority, that they would fall down and worship him. Father, bless this time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark has really made authority a central theme in his gospel. From his first words, Mark identifies Jesus as the Christ, God's promised Messiah and God's own Son. At Jesus' baptism, Jesus is identified by God as God's beloved Son, God using the language of Psalm 2 to identify Jesus as his promised King. And so Mark has revealed this divine proclamation that Jesus is God's Son and God's King, but then he also shows how Jesus demonstrated that kind of authority in his own life. Jesus commands with authority, "Follow me," and his disciples followed him. Jesus taught with authority. Jesus demonstrated authority over the demons. He had demonstrated authority over the Sabbath. He demonstrated authority over nature. He demonstrated authority over sickness and disability, authority over life and death. And just in the past few days of his life that we've studied over the past few weeks, Jesus came into Jerusalem with authority. With authority, Jesus cursed the fig tree and it withered away to its root. With authority, Jesus cast people out of the temple. And it is these acts that have demanded action by the religious authorities that we find in our text today. Now, our first main point this morning, the religious authorities question Jesus' authority. The religious authorities question Jesus' authority. Jesus and his disciples, they've returned to Jerusalem. They've been spending the nights outside of town. They were staying in Bethany a couple days earlier. That's probably where they still are. They probably have arrangements there for the entire week. But now they return to Jerusalem. They're in the temple walking around. And Mark tells us the chief priests and the priests and the scribes and the elders show up. Now, that's a grouping that represents the Sanhedrin. That was the Jewish leadership. So Rome is in control, but they do allow local religions. And the Sanhedrin was the Rome-approved Jewish religious leadership. But that also meant they had some legal and judicial authority as well. Probably not all of them show up. They probably send a delegation. Mark has already told us their perspective on Jesus. If you turn back to Mark 11:18, just a few verses earlier, and the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they heard Jesus, and they were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. So the chief priests and scribes want to destroy Jesus. So as we come to today's text, this conversation has an angle. The religious leaders are coming to test Jesus. They're seeking to entrap him. They're not honestly trying to understand Jesus so that they can respond to truth. They're looking for an opportunity to condemn Jesus. So the religious authorities have a problem. Jesus is the problem. He has a large following. He came into town with shouts of Hosanna. People are saying things about Jesus that they say about revolutionary leaders. Rome is watching. They already have extra soldiers in Jerusalem because of the Feast of Passover. Israel has revolted before. They have a reputation. So the Roman military contingent is on hand. They're on alert. And the religious leaders are concerned that Jesus is going to be a problem. If he starts a riot or revolution, Rome will come down hard and their own positions of leadership will be in jeopardy because they're supposed to keep order in Jerusalem. So if someone comes in and starts a revolution, Rome is not going to be very happy. So the religious authorities have already decided to destroy Jesus. Jesus cannot be allowed to cause problems. Jesus cannot be allowed to attract a following. Jesus must be stopped. But here's where it gets tricky. They can't destroy Jesus themselves because only Rome can carry out capital punishment. So they can't destroy Jesus without Rome's help. They need Jesus to do something that will trigger Rome to act, but not something that will cause Rome to remove them from leadership. So they need Rome to see Jesus as a threat, but not in such a way that they see the religious authorities as incompetent. Right? So it's this delicate balance. If Rome believed Jesus was claiming authority like a king, that might be enough for Rome to act and to take Jesus out. And so that's why the religious leaders ask this question we see in verse 28. By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them? So again, this is not a neutral question. The religious authorities are not neutral. They're seeking to trap Jesus. And the issue they bring up is the issue of authority. Now, Jesus has not been trained by the rabbis. He didn't get his MDiv at Sanhedrin Seminary. He has no accreditation. He didn't take the right classes. So where does he get the authority to do these things? Jesus, where do you get your authority? Who told you you have the authority to do these things? And these things are the things we've seen in the most recent weeks. Jesus cast out the buyers and sellers in the temple. He's teaching in the temple with authority. Who gave you authority to do these things? And as we've already seen, authority is a big issue in Mark's gospel. Mark is regularly highlighting these events in the life of Jesus that demonstrate his authority in clear and undeniable ways. When he entered Jerusalem to messianic shouts and he received those cheers, he is publicly acknowledging that he is the Messiah. Cursing the fig tree as a sign of judgment was also a demonstration of authority, even if only for his disciples. But then when he walked into the temple and he started casting people out, when he wouldn't allow people to walk through the temple carrying things, those are demonstrations of authority. Jesus is claiming for himself authority over the temple, authority over what happens in God's house of prayer and worship. Jesus is claiming authority. So now the spiritual leaders are questioning Jesus' authority. Who gave you this authority? Do you really have this authority? And this really is the central issue about Jesus. Does Jesus have authority? Does Jesus have authority? Because if Jesus has no authority, then he really shouldn't be driving people out of the temple. He shouldn't allow people to treat him as God's promised Messiah. He shouldn't allow people to worship him. If Jesus does not have authority, his life really didn't matter that much then, and it wouldn't really matter that much today. If Jesus was just a normal man of humble birth and normal life and no authority, then we don't really need to worry about him today. But if Jesus is who Mark tells us he is, then he has all authority, and we must submit to him and worship him. The religious leaders, in spite of themselves, have hit on the key issue, the authority of Jesus. The religious leaders question Jesus' authority. Second main point, the religious authorities have no authority. The religious authorities have no authority. And I know that's counterintuitive to say the authorities have no authority, but that's exactly what we find in our chapter. The religious leaders do have earthly authority. They have some legal position and power, but they have no real authority. They think they are the authority. They act as if they have authority, but they have no real authority. They hold their positions because of Rome, not because of faithfulness to God. And because they have no real authority, they come to Jesus, who is God's own son with all authority, and they cannot recognize that he has real authority. We'll see three parts to this section. They demonstrate the religious leaders have no authority. First, Jesus has the authority not to answer. Jesus has the authority not to answer. You see this in verse 29. Jesus said to them, I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or man? Answer me. So Jesus says he will only answer them if they first answer him. I have the authority not to answer you. You have no authority to demand that I answer you. But I will answer you because I want to, but only on one condition. All you have to do is answer me one question. You answer this question, I'll answer your question. You want to talk about authority? Let's talk about authority. Answer my question and I'll tell you my authority. Jesus has all authority. He is the Son of God. He came to earth in human form to be God's promised Messiah. He's the true prophet, priest, and king. And thus, he has the authority of God, and he has no need to answer these people. Jesus tells them as such. He doesn't have to answer them, and he will only answer them on his terms. They think they're the authorities, and they're coming to Jesus to challenge his authority. And Jesus very quickly cuts through their self-deception. They have no ultimate authority. And Jesus often does this. People come to Jesus to challenge him, and they find that they are the ones challenged. Many times people think they can confront Jesus, and they discover they are the ones who are confronted. You may even be here in church this morning because you wanted to go to a church to prove Jesus isn't really that important. You may think you're the one who gets to decide who Jesus is and what he can demand. But I tell you, even now, Jesus is the one who is an authority. Jesus is the one who has the right to challenge. And Jesus calls you to submit to his authority. Jesus calls you to acknowledge he has the authority of God because he is God. So let me ask you, do you acknowledge the authority of Jesus? The religious leaders demand to know Jesus' authority, and Jesus has the authority not to answer. That leads us to Jesus' question, who was John's authority? He just has one question, who was John's authority? Now, verse 30, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me. John the Baptist was Jesus' near relative, and he was miraculously conceived to a couple who were beyond the age of childbearing. But before he was conceived, God told them that they were going to have this child, that he was going to be a great prophet. He had a special role. And John had a short, just a few years, but powerful ministry. He proclaimed that the kingdom of God was at hand and that people must repent. And crowds came out to hear him in the desert. He called out the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. He condemned King Herod for marrying his brother's wife. He was a bold and brave prophetic voice to his generation. His condemnation of Herod is what resulted in his death. But most importantly about John the Baptist, he introduced the world to Jesus, the one whose kingdom John proclaimed. So John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and it was at that baptism that God proclaimed that Jesus was his beloved son. Again, God using the language of Psalm 2 to identify Jesus as the true king. John recognized Jesus should be the one baptizing him, but he still baptized Jesus at Jesus' command. Their ministries were connected. John is the forerunner to Jesus. So when Jesus asks here about the baptism of John, he's asking about John's whole ministry. Who gave John authority? Is John's authority from heaven or from earth? Is John's authority from God or from man? Who was John's authority? Now, this should be a fairly straightforward question. There are two options, God or man. These religious leaders had followed John's ministry. They could have considered him and his authority. How hard could it be to answer, right? It's a 50-50 shot. I had a tax professor once. In every class, he would give us questions, and they always had two options. We never knew the answer, and he would always remind us, well, you have a 50-50 shot. Just take a pick. We did not get the right answer 50% of the time. I don't know if that says more about Aggies or about the tax code. You can consider that yourself. Well, these religious leaders have a 50-50 shot. It shouldn't be that hard to answer. But what we find is it is impossible for them to answer. But that's the question. Who was John's authority? And that brings us to this third section in the main point, in the second main point. The religious leaders have no standard for authority. The religious leaders have no standard for authority. Verse 31, and they discussed it with one another, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But shall we say from man? They were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. Now notice there's one question the religious leaders are not asking. They're not asking, is John's ministry from God or man? They're not asking, what is true? They're not asking, what is right? The question is not what is true, but what is expedient. Not what is right, but what is convenient. What will go better in the end? What will help us come out well in the end? They don't seem particularly concerned about whether John's authority may have come from God. They aren't worried about that. They're definitely not going to say John's authority came from God. After all, if they say that, they can tell. Jesus is going to ask them, well, why didn't you believe in him? We definitely can't say he came from God. We weren't baptized by John. We didn't follow him. Jesus will just flip this on our head if we say his authority was from God. But oh, the people, we cannot say that John's authority is earthly. We cannot say John's authority came from man. If we say he's from man, we're really going to have an uprising. They may be lost in sin and rebellion, but they're not dumb. They recognize the dilemma Jesus has put them in. They cannot admit Jesus came from God, and they dare not say that John came from man. They don't have the integrity to announce what they really believe, so they just end up kind of wishy-washy. Well, we don't know. I wonder, though, if we aren't quite often like the religious authorities, kind of equivocating on the facts to suit us, bending the truth to make a sale, exaggerating about our record in our resume or job interview, just willing to bend the truth or kind of ignore the truth if it doesn't suit us very well. Jesus has not made any direct statement. He simply asked a question, a very relevant question, a question that gets to the heart of the matter, but just a question. And Jesus often gets to the heart of the matter by asking a question. The religious leaders have no standard for authority. Their standard is what will help us, what will enable us, what will affirm our power. The religious leaders have no standard for authority. They cannot say who is from God. They cannot say who is from man. They have no standard of authority. They cannot recognize who has come from God. They do not realize their own authority is only from man. Their only standard is what will help them consolidate and continue their own power. They have no standard for authority. But what is your standard for authority? Is John the Baptist from God or man? Was Jesus from God or man? Whose authority did they have? And how are you determining the answer to those questions? What is true? What is right? How do you determine what is true and right? Many people, if we were honest with ourselves, would admit we're the ultimate standard of authority. What is authority? Authority is whatever I decide authority is. How do we know if something's true? It's true if I decide if it's true. And so when it comes to things like the Bible, you decide if it's true or not. You decide if it has authority or not. But you see, we don't really get to decide what is true. We do not get to determine where there is real authority. If you choose your authority and I choose my authority, then there's not really any authority. There has to be some standard of authority that is outside of ourselves. There has to be some authority that is consistent and right and true. And God is that authority. And God has revealed himself in his word. The authority on what is eternally right and true is the word of God. God has revealed himself in the written word, and God has revealed himself in the incarnate word, his own son, Jesus Christ. And everything we read in the written word of God about the incarnate word of God is true and right and good. And so we don't have to wonder whose authority John had. We don't have to wonder whose authority Jesus had. Jesus has all authority. You know, we say as a church, we believe the Bible is our authority. But in our individual lives or our lives as a church, do we really care about that authority? Do we live our life as if that authority matters? Are our lives actually consistent with what we claim to be our authority? Or do we actually live as if we have no authority? Do we go home from church and set the authority on the nightstand and pick it back up again next week when we come back to church? What is really the authority in how you live your life? You know, there seems to be no end to studies on the American people and theology. And it turns out the American church has no biblical moorings. People get more theology from the latest hot TV show than from the Bible. How about you? Do you live your life in line with the authority you claim to believe? The religious leaders have no real standard for authority except what is useful for them. And the reason is the religious authorities have no authority. They do have earthly authority, we acknowledge that, but they don't have any spiritual authority. They are far more concerned about having authority than honoring God with that authority. The religious leaders have no authority. A final point, Jesus has no need to defend his authority. Jesus has no need to defend his authority. Look at the middle of verse 33. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Since they refused to answer Jesus about who gave John authority, Jesus will not answer them about who gave him authority. Of course, John and Jesus both have the same authority, the authority of God. Jesus as God and John as sent by God. Both of them sent by God the Father. Jesus has the authority not to answer. He has no need to defend his authority because Jesus already has the authority of God. Mike read our scripture reading from Job 38 this morning. There God is telling Job why Job does not have the right to question God. Right? God is creator of all and source of all. God sustains all. Where were you when God laid the foundations of the earth? Where was man when God set the boundaries of the oceans? Has man determined the sunrise and the sunset? Does man control the weather? Is it at man's command that the constellations run their designed course through the sky? God does not answer to man, and likewise Jesus has no need to defend his authority. Jesus will not answer this question on this day. He will not give them the ammunition they need on this day to hand him over to the Romans. Of course, in just a few days, Jesus will answer the question. He will give them the answer they want. And so we wonder, why not just tell them now? Why is he waiting? There may be many reasons, but among them, Jesus had to die as the true Passover lamb. And to die as the Passover lamb, he has to die on Passover. And that's still a few days away. Well, not only does Jesus have the authority not to answer them at all, he has the authority to decide when he will tell them, and he has the authority to determine when he dies. Jesus has authority over life and death. We've already seen in Mark's gospel, he raised a girl from the dead. John's gospel records that Jesus says he has authority to lay down his life, and he has the authority to take it back up again. Jesus has authority over his own life and death, and he has authority over your life and death. Jesus claims all authority over life and death. No one can tell him what must be done. No one can demand he answer to them. Jesus claims absolute authority over all of life. Jesus claims authority over your life. He has the right to claim that authority because he is God and creator of all. And as God and creator, he has absolute authority over his creation. And the question for you is, do you submit to the authority of Jesus? Do you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and King? Do you acknowledge that Jesus is God? Do you acknowledge he has absolute authority over your life? And do you submit to his authority? You submit to Jesus by recognizing who he is, by repenting of your sin, turning from your sin, and trusting in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Just a few days after today's text, Jesus died on the cross for sin. He paid the price for sin for everyone who believes in him. And one day he is coming back to judge. Everyone who has trusted him will enter his eternal rest, and everyone who rejects Jesus as Savior and Lord will receive his eternal punishment. Everyone who does not believe in Jesus will receive God's eternal wrath, God's eternal anger against sin. So you face a choice with eternal consequences. You can trust Jesus and be adopted into his family, given citizenship in his eternal kingdom, or you can stay in his wrath, face his judgment, and spend eternity in just punishment. What is your authority? Jesus has the authority of God. Do you submit to him as your authority? Let's pray together. God, our Father, we praise you that you sent Jesus to earth for us. We praise you that you are a just and good and righteous God. We praise you that Jesus paid for sin, for everyone who trusts in him, that our sin is covered by his blood. We praise you, Jesus, that you have all authority. We ask that you would help us to submit to your authority now and each and every day. We thank you that you demonstrate your authority and you practice your authority as a loving and kind and good God. And you pour out grace and mercy so freely. May we worship you truly. Amen.